First up today, what's the matter with Kansas? Turns out plenty, critics are saying, when Jon Stewart of The Daily Show starts lampooning you on Comedy Central, something very well may be amiss. Here's Jon talking about the spanking bill.
Hello, my name is Representative Gail Finney. Are you holding back from punching the out of your children because you fear legal repercussions? Well, fear no more. Your nightmare is over. Whereas theirs is just beginning.
Besides regulating spanking, lawmakers have debated the bill enabling Kansans to deny services to same-sex couples in the name of religious freedom. That, too, has started and gained lots of national attention. With us today to diagnose what ails Kansas are Bob Beatty. He's a Washburn University political scientist. And, Bob, it's always nice to have you. Thanks for taking some time.
Good to be here, Steve.
John Hanna is the veteran statehouse correspondent for the Associated Press in the Kansas Capitol. And John, always good to have you too. Good morning.
Thank you, Steve.
And back with us again is State Representative Barbara Beaulieu. She's a Mission Hills Republican. And Barbara, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Very nice to be here. Thanks, Steve.
Bob Beatty, set the table for us here. What's going on in Kansas these days that has Jon Stewart poking fun at us and all kinds of other people for that matter too?
Well, Steve, I'm a political scientist, so I like to put things in context. This is not new for Kansas. Maybe Kansans might want to forget, but, in the last decade or so, Kansas has been the butt of many jokes. If many people familiar with Jay Leno program, for example, over the evolution debate, and that seemed to come and go with various elections. And so this is sort of a part and parcel of that continuation of the evolution controversy, in which the state of Kansas is seen to be an outlier. And the really interesting thing about this is that in his state of the state, Governor Brownback said, yes, Kansas will be an outlier, but it will lead the rest of the country in what it does. And so that, we can talk about this for the next 40 minutes. The question is what the Kansas legislature doing part of that, leading the red state model? Or is this something that maybe the governor did not have in mind when he said, let's forge our own path?
John Hanna, what do you think? Is this what Governor Sam Brownback had in mind, or is this something a little bit different?
Well, when the governor is talking about I think the phrase he used in his State of the State was the American Renaissance. What he's talking about specifically is a low-tax, pro-business, high-growth, small government American Renaissance. So he's specifically referring to these income tax cuts that have these big income tax cuts that have passed over the course of 2 years. He's talking about making Kansas more business friendly. Now, of course, he also, in addition to that, did call in his first State of the State address in 2011 for legislators to create a culture of life. And the state has seen a whole series of new restrictions on abortion pass, and some of them have ended up in court. In addition, the governor is a supporter of gun rights. He, in the past, has discussed religious freedom in a broader context. He's not specifically endorsing the bill that passed the House. Where the governor gets blamed for a lot of this is sort of having swept in conservative majorities in both chambers, and the governor's critics are now saying, see, he has more control over the legislature than past governors have had. We can lay this at his doorstep. And the governor's people do not. They are keeping their distance from this stuff, at least publicly, and for good reason. And in fairness, we need to mention that the spanking bill was actually introduced by a Democrat.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
My analysis is that one of the issues here is that there has not been a school finance ruling. There is not a big tax debate.
Meaning they have lots of time on their hands.
Well, there's not a single issue or two or three issues that are sucking most of the oxygen out of the room. And so what happens is these kinds of issues are getting more attention because there's not something bigger going on. And so not all of these issues are always there, but there are always in the background some social issues.
Let me turn to State Representative Barbara Beaulieu here. She also joins us this morning. And Barbara, a lot of folks listening to this might be wondering, you know, when it comes to bills like this one that enables Kansans to deny services to same-sex couples in the name of religious freedom, how do bills like that pass a chamber like the Kansas House?
Important to know that bills start in a committee, and that particular bill started in Fed and State. Each of our committees is, with the chairman of the committee, is handpicked by the Speaker of the House. And obviously, each of those chairmanships are very politically motivated. Fed and State is definitely a committee because it handles most controversial social issues like that or abortion, et cetera. So it's definitely a committee that's leaning towards the very far right in its voting, who's chosen to be on that committee, and certainly by the chairman. So once a bill gets through a committee, which it easily did from Fed and State, then it moves on to the House chamber. And if the speaker has discretion whether or not to run a bill, it can stay what's called below the line or move up above, where we get to hear a bill, testify on it individually for or against, and then vote. And the speaker chose to do that with this bill, so that's how it got there. Once we passed it, as you know, all basically hell broke loose all over the country, if not the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it quickly, you know, the Senate president said, well, we're not going to run this bill now. She doesn't think that her chamber would vote for it. Well, I bet not with all the controversy over it, but that's how things move through. What's important to know now, it is not dead. Once a bill passes a chamber, it is alive and can be used and can be pulled through until we gavel out of session at the end of May.
You know, Barb, you've been down there for a few sessions now. I'm just wondering, as you saw this religious freedom bill sort of move its way through the House, and then, as you said, it passes the House and all heck breaks loose, did you see that coming? Could you anticipate that kind of national response given the nature of that bill?
Well, of course.
You never know.
Well, I'd say of course. I mean, we're in an environment now where, you know, obviously if you're in California or something and something happens, Fox News is going to be on it. Well, you know, MSNBC, as soon as I saw that even being talked about, I said, well, the Rachel Maddow on MSNBC has her story for the next week. And not just Rachel Maddow,
but
that's close to a million viewers on that one network,
Bob,
whether you like that network or not. Of course that was going to be reported on.
John Hanna, hop in here.
I would point out that the Arizona legislature passed a very similar bill. I mean, it went through and it went to the governor. I think the issue here is, on the left, this kind of legislation, this kind of conservative legislation, and we'll let both sides characterize it as they will, plays into a coastal stereotype of Kansas.
Hmm.
You know, that the evolution thing also played into, and that's why perhaps Kansas might get a little more attention than other states where similar legislation. This legislation that the Kansas House passed, there was something like it in South Dakota, although South Dakota's was not quite as did not have some of the things in it. But the Arizona law was very much like this.
Maybe hop back in here, guys. Barbara Beaulieu, you sit on the floor of the House. Did you anticipate this controversy as this bill moved through the chamber?
one never knows, but yes, individually, it was very upsetting to me because it didn't represent what the religious values that the very people said it was protecting. They said it was for to protect deeply held religious beliefs, and I asked the question, what religion advocates to not serve others? So when you start passing legislation that goes against the very grain of what these the religions say, people will respond. So, and I agree with the two other gentlemen that, yeah, it is different when it comes from Kansas. We're mm-hmm. well known for controversial things. So, as was said before, we don't have a lot else on the docket. So it's easy to focus on that.
Barbara, how much feedback are you getting from your constituents these days about not only this Religious Freedom Act, there's also the resolution denying climate change, the spanking legislation, the bill to opt in for sex education? All these bills are percolating over there. How much feedback are you getting from your folks out there?
My constituents are most concerned about school issues and education issues. So I hear some. I heard a great deal about 2453, the religious freedom issue. But other than that, I'm hearing back from people about bills that are going through education committee, and because that's what my constituents are most concerned about in the state this year. And this other stuff, they know, you know, come or go. Kansas does its thing, but that's what matters to them.
But Barbara, as these bills get so much attention and get so much talk, you know, leveled at them from around the country, how do you feel as a lawmaker about your own chamber, about your own legislature? How do you react to all of this? Are you embarrassed? Are you not embarrassed? What goes through your mind?
On some level, I am embarrassed because I love the state of Kansas, and I believe in the state of Kansas. I wouldn't be working so hard for the state of Kansas and the people here if I didn't feel that way. So to hear people laughing at us, it's hurtful. We're good people. Unfortunately, what comes through are these crazy things that get picked up in the media, and people, obviously, legislators who were voted into office, choose to bring forward. I don't know that it actually reflects all of the people or the majority of the people, but it does reflect the people who were elected.
Let me get our listeners involved here and get them to react to all this controversy that the legislature has stirred up this year with this series of controversial proposals. 816-235-2888 is our number. What do you think? What do you make of your legislature right now? Again, 816-235-2888. You can also email us to updatedate@kcur.org or tweet us @kcurupdate. Bob Beatty from Washburn University, what's the image of the state that's being broadcast to the rest of the country? To sort of take Barbara Beaulieu's last comment and run with that a little bit, what do you see happening to the state's image, Bob?
Well, I think John and Barbara are making excellent points. And more specifically, we just have to put it on the table that Kansas is the home of the Westboro Baptist Church. And just everyone needs to always recognize that, because they get tons of national media attention, and every time a story is run about Westboro Baptist Church, it says Topeka, Kansas. Therefore, if the state is contemplating some sort of legislation that ties into the Westboro narrative, it's going to be easy, as John pointed out, to lump it together. Just like for Arizona, if there's some sort of immigration story, you know, it will tie into the anti-illegal immigration laws that passed in Arizona. But there's a huge difference. Arizona has spring training, the sun, you know, all the resorts. It has tons of tourism. You know, Kansas is looking to get people to come here because, you know, it's a flat state and tourism is a tough sell. And as John mentioned, that's what Brownback is trying to do, a growth agenda. And so already the state is essentially, with the Westboro Baptist Church, sort of offending 10 to 12% of the entire population. And so the legislature as the speaker has just noted in the last couple of days, maybe wants to focus on growth rather than turning people away. But that clearly wasn't the intent of that
legislation. Well, and historically, Bob, I mean, this is not a new issue for the state. I mean, this goes back more than 100 years. I mean, in the 1880s, 1890s, early part of the 20th century, you know, you had even the voices from William Allen White's famous or infamous, depending on how you look at it, What's the Matter with Kansas, mm-hmm. which, you know, dealt with the rise of the populace and was very intemperate in its language. And it went in the late 19th century version of viral. And you know, sort of this picture of Kansas as the flat state in the middle, that's always been out there, or at least it has been for decades and decades.
Well, John Hanna, you've been covering the legislature for any number of years now, maybe longer than our other two panelists here today. What is it about Kansas, which was an abolitionist state back in pre-Civil War days, what is it about Kansas that generates this type of controversy as often as it does?
Well, there is a strain in Kansas of religiosity and conservative thought on social matters that has always been here and probably always will. And what we've seen over the past two decades is the rise of not only fiscal but social conservatives within the Republican Party, the dominant Republican Party. And so while I have to say that the sponsors of the bill we've been talking about that has gotten so much attention from gay rights advocates, they've said repeatedly that their intent was to protect people, groups, and businesses, florists, photographers, mm-hmm. cake makers, churches, from having to participate in same-sex weddings should the federal courts strike down the state's ban on same-sex marriage. That's what they've said repeatedly the intent is. Now, of course, the bill, if you read it, was written at least a little more broadly than that. There's a big argument about how broad that bill is, because it also, for example, would protect a religious social services agency from having to place kids in with gay couples, for example. And there's language about employment benefits and right. accommodations. And then,
John, just quickly, I'm going to get to some phone calls here in just a second, but you've covered, 25, 30 sessions of the legislature over there. Where does this one rank in terms of—
27 or 20, I can't remember.
Well, who's counting, right? You know, where does this one rank in terms of legislation that is getting the rest of the nation talking, at least based on your own experience, John?
Well, in 2011, the state got a lot of attention for abortion. And it has been getting last couple of years some attention for taxes, but in terms of the social stuff, the gay marriage, gay rights, I don't recall an instance where we had a string of proposals that kept getting attention like this, but. You know, without doing a comprehensive study, I can't say for sure, but it's a little different than it's different than what I've seen the last 20 plus years.
Well, if you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about all that controversial legislation being kicked around Topeka, the newly refurbished Kansas State House over there. We're joined by Bob Beatty, a political scientist from Washburn University, John Hanna, a veteran State House correspondent for the AP, and State Representative Barbara Bollier. She's a Mission Hills Republican. Let's go to some phone calls here now, and let's go to Nathan from Leawood. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning. I saw an article on the internet yesterday that made the point that social conservatives love to flog social issues. And so the Republicans behind this bill, the anti-gay bill, knew that this bill didn't have a chance of passing because it would specifically violate gay people's First, Fifth, and 14th Amendment rights. But because Paul Davis is leading Brown back in the polls, and he needs to energize his Westboro Baptist and Scott Lively base. Scott Lively was the guy who created the Ugandan anti-gay homosexuality bill. He needs to energize his base. This bill was brought up in order that Brownback could have a club to beat Paul Davis over the head with once the election picks up after August.
Nathan, thank you for that. And Bob Beatty, I'm wondering about the impact this is having on Governor Sam Brownback's reelection chances. He's on the ballot this year. He'll be running against a Democrat from Lawrence, the House Minority Leader. His name is Paul Davis. I'm guessing all this can't be helping a whole lot, Bob, or do I have that wrong?
Well, the call, Nathan is alluding to, I believe, a Slate article on the internet in Slate magazine, in which the theory is postulated that yes, put this out, make Davis uncomfortable, and you know he was attacked from the left. Paul Davis was for not being against this enough. So there's two theories on this concerning Brownback. One is that he's very much President Bush-like. After 9/11, President Bush essentially said to Congress, as long as you pass any of my national security stuff, you got a blank check on spending. And spending went pretty wild. Mm-hmm. He never vetoed a spending bill. And some people argue that's what's going on with Brownback. As long as the legislature passes his tax cuts and his economic agenda, he's just going to stay away from any sort of criticism regarding any of the social issues. The other is this cynical idea that it's a master plan to make Davis get attacked from the left. If there is something to that, it's a real gamble, because if Brownback is affected by this, then the moderate Republicans could be motivated, could get angry enough to come out and vote in November and resoundingly go against Brownback, like they did Phil Klein, who you asked John Hanna about the legislature. I thought of Phil Klein, who received a lot of national attention several years ago as Kansas Attorney General. He's on GQ magazine for his inquisition into the abortions and in Wichita. So that's the last time I think Kansas received so much attention.
John?
Yeah, that's a good point. How having covered a bunch of that, how could I forget it? The question, I think the question was emanating what in terms of what emanates from the legislature. Yeah, I have seen that theory advanced and Davis was certainly criticized from the left, and there is certainly the big possibility that even raising the issue will get conservatives energized, although in terms of what the governor has done on social issues in terms of abortion and gun rights, I'm not sure how much more they needed to get energized. Some of this is being driven by a concern amongst various conservative social groups in the Kansas Catholic Conference about what happens if and when the federal courts strike down the ban on same-sex marriage. That ban has been in the state constitution since 2005, and kind of the working assumption when it was adopted was that it would stand for decades, even if social mores change. And there was a sense at the time that social mores were starting to change, and this was a way to lock in a traditional view of marriage into Kansas law and into the Kansas Constitution, so that it would, and now suddenly there's the threat that could be washed away. And you've got a bunch of people saying, well, what happens next?
Jeff, John.
Go ahead. No, that's, so I think there is, notwithstanding the questions of the political calculations, I think there is some a genuine issue there for people on the right of what happens once if and when the state same-sex ban on the ban on same-sex marriage goes away.
Jeff writes to us on Twitter, one good thing about Kansas, it makes me not feel so bad about being from Missouri. Let's go back to some calls, and Jeff from Lawrence. Jeff, you're on Up Today. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. You guys seem like you're just touching the tip of the iceberg. You're not even mentioning the fiber internet that they tried to ban public municipalities, which would have probably affected Google Fiber and a system put in Chinook. And also a personal issue of mine is autism insurance reform. They're trying to water that down into a bill that means nothing, and it isn't even making the news.
Yeah.
It's almost like what you're talking about is smoke and mirrors while they pull something else off.
Jeff, thank you. Barbara Bouillet, this notion there are other bills lurking around out there. The spanking bill that we opened up the show that John Stewart lampooned last week, sponsored by Representative Gail Finney, a Wichita Democrat. The status of that bill, Barbara, as far as you know, is what?
I think it's dead.
Okay.
That's my understanding. It won't be going anywhere. And so I think we can leave that behind. I think caller had a great point that there are other issues that really are important to Kansans that are out there, and I don't know that they're necessarily trying to be watered down or changed. They will be being dealt with. At least I'm on the insurance committee, and the insurance, we have the possibility of two different bills being heard, and the hope is to have some good discussion about that, an issue that's been not run through for years, and maybe will be this year. Bottom line is, if you look back to what the governor says he wants in this state, and that is to grow our state and bring in business, if you look at young people today who are starting in business and deciding where to relocate, when you start focusing on issues such as we want to discriminate, you will not be enticing them to come to this state. And I think that's a critical, critical thing to be thinking about as we move ahead with whatever legislation. What can we do to make Kansas a place where people want to live instead of where they're afraid to live?
Bob Beatty, do you agree with that?
Well, my point was that Kansas is the home of Westboro Baptist Church, and nobody can change that. And in light of that, the message gets confused already that that's government policy. I think people just think that's what Kansas is all about. And I think Representative Bouillet has a really good point that instead of tying into that narrative, it might be better for the state in terms of growth to maybe offset it. I should quickly add that that was the belief of Topeka Mayor, former Mayor Bill Bunton, who wrote letters almost every day from the city to people who were being picketed by Westboro, saying that's not the city of Topeka, that's an individual group. And he actually even apologized, even though it wasn't the city.
Yeah. There are also bills floating around the state capitol in Kansas that would deny the existence of climate change. One bill would criminalize surrogate parenting. Then there's a bill from Senator Mary Pilcher Cook, she's a Shawnee Republican, that would require parents statewide to give consent before their children can take sex education. As it is now in some school districts like the Shawnee Mission District, parents have to actively opt out of sex ed classes for their kids to actually keep them out of the classes. Her bill would make parents have to actually opt in their kids to take the classes. Let's go to Mike from Baldwin. Mike, good morning. You're on Up to Date.
Thanks for taking my call. I grew up in Louisiana during the rise of evangelicalism and the rise of Reagan 30-something, 40-something years ago, and it is just scary how much of that is followed here to Kansas. I mean, that was my comment. It's almost like going back to Shreveport, Louisiana, 1979, and seeing this stuff with all these crazy bills all over again. Thanks.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate it. Representative Barbara Bouillet, this bill from Senator Pilcher Cook requiring parents to opt in for sex ed classes, where does that bill stand? Any sense, and where do you think it might be going?
It's in House Education Committee right now. I don't know where it will go. They had testimony on it last week when they heard it. You know, bottom line is, with all these bills, intended or not, the governor worked to get these people elected. It was his machine that funded them through KPI, through Americans for Prosperity, through the Koch brothers, and this is the result. So you get all these conservative voices that all say, I want to be heard and I want to start making bills that do all these different things. The reality is Mary Pilcher Cook's bill on the sex education came directly from a little incident in the Shawnee Mission District, which was not handled appropriately, and the superintendent said so, apologized, moved forward. But, you know, knee-jerk reaction isn't to overreact. We shouldn't then say we have to have all opt-out when opt-in has worked. We've only had someone just sent me information today that in the last years, out of all the possibilities of someone opting out, only 14 families chose to do that out of the district. So obviously, people want their children in Shawnee Mission educated with sex ed. So why try to make it so much more difficult? That isn't the way we want to go.
And Barbara, just to clarify, that bill has actually passed the state Senate. It's now in the House.
I misunderstood that. I thought that it was just in the House.
Well, she's a senator, so I'm just guessing here, because she's a state senator and the bill's now in the House, that it somehow has passed the House. John Hanna, any clarification on that?
No, I'd have to check. I thought it was still just in committee on the Senate side. I didn't think the committee had voted on it yet.
We'll check.
That over, so.
And Bob Beatty, just to touch briefly on a new poll that came out last week from the Democratic-leading public policy polling. It actually showed the Democrat, Paul Davis, leading Sam Brownback by 42% to 40%, still within the margin of error in that poll. How significant of a survey is that in your view, Bob?
Well, I think it's significant. If you look at polls from Kathleen Sebelius's, at this point ahead of the race for Kathleen Sebelius's race for re-election, she had a pretty good lead against possible Republicans, including Jim Barnett. When you look at these new polls out, including the newest one, I think it makes some sense that there's a lot of undecideds. Now, that doesn't mean Governor Brownback still couldn't win by 12 points. But it certainly means that Davis has a chance. And, you know, maybe 6 months ago, a lot of people, even on the Democratic side, might have thought, I'm not sure if he does have a chance.
Brandon from Kansas City, Missouri, you're our final call here for this segment. Brandon, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Steve. I have a question. As a Missouri resident, I'm wondering what the Kansas residents and Kansas constituency thinks of these bills, because I feel like the panel is making a lot of apologies and don't judge us as Kansas and whatnot, yet the legislature is filled with people who were voted in, and those people are the ones making these bills. And so I'm kind of wondering who is accurate here. Is it the more moderates saying, well, we're actually not that, you know, we're not that anti-gay, we're not that anti, you know, whatever. Or is it the people who voted the very conservative lawmakers into place to begin with?
Barbara Beaulieu, take that one, would you please?
That's an excellent question. And as I said earlier, these are who are elected. These people were elected. So, Kansans, this is who you have chosen to represent you. Now, personally, on my end, I represent a very moderate district, so no, this does not represent us. But as a state, clearly, that's who's elected. So I can't speak for them, but you speak by your actions.
We're going to have to leave our conversation again, right there. State Representative Barbara Beaulieu, always a pleasure, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
John Hanna from the AP. John, good to have you, too.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Bob Beatty, a Washburn University political scientist. Bob, we sure appreciate your time as well. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you, Steve.